I wonder if there is any appliance in your house that you don't like. I'll tell you one. And it makes its presence known in the earlier hours of the morning. It's the dear old alarm clock. You're sleeping peacefully. And suddenly there is this urgent beeping or ringing that wakes you up. And there is this urge to hurl the said alarm clock out of the window. I saw a cartoon once. A man that hurled his alarm clock out of the window, but to save him buying another, he put a fishing net outside to catch it. I must admit, when Hannah lived at home and her alarm beeped at some unearthly hour, I had the same urge, but not to bother with the safety net. Of course, Margaret and I have an alarm clock radio that brings on classic FM with soothing music. Mind you, the 1812 overture with full cannon and full orchestra at 6:15 on a Monday morning can be a bit of a shock to the system. But whatever type of alarm clock you have, the purpose is the same. It's a wake-up call. It's time to wake up and take action. And that's precisely what the church at Sardis got when they received this letter. It's a wake-up call from none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Sardis was capital, the ancient kingdom of Lydia, in the west of what is now Asiatic Turkey. Its early prosperity became a byword for wealth, derived in part from the gold won from the Pactois, a stream that flowed through the city. The original city of Sardis, though an almost impregnable fortress citadel, was taken in 546 BC and 214 BC. The church at Sardis, in the Thompson Chain Reference Bible I have at home, was called the Dying Church. The Dying Church. You see, it had a name for being alive, but it was dead. In his book on short book on Revelation, Professor D. Thomas says that the letter that the church received was brief but stinging. It must have been quite a shock to the system when the church received it. But the church needed this wake-up call. And in some ways, the Galatian church was like that, which is why we read from Galatians chapter 5. Paul was seeking to wake them up to the liberty that they had in Christ Jesus. So who was it from? Well, we've already said. The Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church. The one who was dead, but is alive forevermore. Who is risen, who is ascended, who is seated at the right hand of the majesty of God. So we read in Hebrews. He's the one from whom nothing is hidden. As Hebrews 4:13 makes crystal clear. Why was it given? Because the church needed a wake-up call. This was urgent. It couldn't wait. The Lord Jesus said to them, "You have a name that you live, but you're dead." Do you imagine this church receiving a message like that from the Lord Well, yes, they had a name, but they were dead. What about you and I, my friends? Do we need a wake-up call from the Lord Jesus Christ? What's our Christianity really like, day by day? We meet here. We call ourselves Christian. What's the reality? Before Him. Before Him. And the wake-up call for action. Firstly, to be watchful. To be watchful. Verse 2, be watchful. Be watchful against having a reputation without the reality. In other words, wake up to your situation. Wake up to the truth as it really is. Secondly, strengthen what remains. As Matthew Paul puts it, what little of real worth you do have. Improve those gifts and good habits that are left of thee yet. Strengthen what remains. Why were they to do this? Because the Lord Jesus said, "For I have not found thy works perfect before God." Oh yes, we can be having a name before other people, those around. But the Lord Jesus said, "I," notice that, "I have not found your works perfect before God." I, the all-seeing, all-knowing Lord, from whom nothing is hidden, I have not found your works perfect. We can fool others, but we can't fool Him. In his book on Revelation, Reverend Richard Brooks puts it this way. Before God, the church was the very opposite of what she was before men. There were deeds, there was activity, but there was the vital ingredient lacking, true spiritual life. There was form without power. There were lots of dead people hard at work. Sounds pretty harsh. But from the record of Scripture, that's accurate. And sadly, surely that is the problem in many of today's churches. Lots of dead people hard at work. Question is, are we one of them? What of us? Third thing that the Lord Jesus calls on this church in Sardis is to remember. And rather than recall, it's bear in mind. Keep in mind how thou hast received and heard, how welcome the gospel and the grace of God were to them when they first received them, says Matthew Henry. Let me ask you something. Is the gospel as precious to you now and to me now as when we first received it? Or, dare I ask, and I ask myself this, has familiarity bred, perhaps we wouldn't say contempt, but we cease to wonder. This is something I've known. How often do we stop and think of our salvation? in reading in Ephesians at work. How God ordained, preordained, ordained us his own from before the creation of the world. Do you know, as you read the first chapter of Ephesians, do it when you get home and see how many jaw-dropping, truly awesome, that word so misused. How many truly jaw-dropping, awesome statements there are in that, just in that first chapter. The fact that before he called light into being, he had chosen you, chosen me to be his. That he's redeemed us. And so often we forget the horrible price that it took to redeem us. Have we, as the Lord Jesus said to the Ephesians, lost our first love? Is the gospel still precious to us? Do we still wonder? Does it humble us? Do we think of it in awe and reverence? Because we should. Remember, recall, how often we should recall the cost of our salvation. The wonder. Why us? Why me, Lord? The Lord would answer, just as he did to the Israelites of old, not because you were more numerous, but simply because I chose you. Simply because I chose you. Remember, recall. Fourthly, hold fast and repent. Now let's recall, let's remember that these were not polite requests. These were positive injunctions from the Lord himself. These were orders from the Lord. And this is a call to take urgent action. This is not something we can do when we feel like it. We can put off. This is a call to urgent, remedial action. Because we read the warning of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, if thou wilt not, this is verse 3, watch, I will come to thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. The church at Sardis cannot say it wasn't warned. And we need to take warning. It's not when we feel like it. If we do not love the Lord as we should, then we need to take urgent remedial action. But there was encouragement even in Sardis. Verse 4, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis. Even in the church that had a name for being alive but was dead. That have not defiled thy garments. Reminds us of what the Apostle James says to us, doesn't it? James chapter 1 verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. How are we to do this? How do we keep ourselves unspotted? By watching and praying. Do you remember the Lord Jesus' words to Peter? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. keep close to the Saviour. Guard that quiet time every day. Watch your heart. Watch your thoughts. And ask God to help you. I mentioned that Sardis was a fortress citadel, but it had been taken twice by surprise. Do you get the picture? We can be taken by surprise by the devil. Oh, he's a master of timing. Let's face it, he's had plenty of practice. Watch your heart. Watch and pray. As Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Let him that thinketh, that thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall. It's been my experience more than once, hasn't it been yours? We've been going on well with the Lord. Seem to have been making progress, and then bang! Temptation has come and we fall. But for those who are faithful, what blessings. What blessings. Promises are multiplied. They shall walk with me, says the Lord Jesus, clothed in white raiment, a symbol of purity. Whenever we're out and about, I see a white car, I always say to my wife, I'd never have one of those. Show the dirt as easy as anything. It does, doesn't it? But when we walk before him in white, there'll be no dirt on our garments. Their names shall be not blotted out of the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. Is your name there? Well, we can have your names on many things. Margaret and I have our names as members of the National Trust. God willing, in 7 weeks on Friday, my name will be removed from the list of IVP employees. But is your name in that book? That book, the Lamb's Book of Life. There is only one way it gets there, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through coming to him, humbling yourself before him, and seeking his forgiveness and cleansing. And when you have done that, devil himself can't remove it from him. Your name from that book. But is it there? Is it there? I will not remove his name out of the book of life. Their name shall be confessed before the Son, before the Father and his angels. On that day, when the whole world is gathered before the judgment seat of Christ, when all those who have scorned him, derided him, derided his people, persecuted his people, they're there and they see him on that throne. The Lord says that he will confess our names before his Father, before the angels of heaven. Father, this one and this one, he, she is mine. The world may have scorned them, but they're mine. I want them to spend eternity with me. Do you think of a greater honour? I can't. I can't. Oh, what honours and rewards and privileges this world bestows. The good, the famous and the infamous. Doesn't matter. What matters is what he thinks of us, not what the world thinks of us. What could compare with you, with the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one of whom we read in our opening reading in Hebrews, confessing your name and my name before his Father, before the angels, before humanity itself. Let me ask you something. Do these blessings bring a thrill to your heart? Do they thrill you? Does the gospel thrill you? The fact that you are a child of God, that you are elect before the Lord created a blade of grass from all eternity, and that one day you will spend eternity with him. Do these things thrill your heart? If not, why not? Why not? Because they should. Do you have a name of being alive but you're dead, like this church at Sardis? Well, we can fool others. We can fool ourselves, but we can't fool him. He knows. He sees. Verse 6, we get that phrase that's repeated in every one of these letters. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We're listening. Listening to the Holy Spirit. As Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, are we seeking to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called? Are we looking to him? Are we looking to him to keep us, to help us, to guide us, to go with us? It matters, you see, because the Lord wants to send us into the world tomorrow morning. Yes, when that beeping around sound occurs. Because around us are those who are perishing, who are but a breath away from a lost eternity. Work colleagues, I think of the work, the warehouse in IVP where I work. When I first joined that firm 25 years ago, there were 3 of us in the warehouse, all Christian. Under the mighty hand of God, IVP's expanded. There are now about 8 or 9 of us in the warehouse. We need that many. But I'm the only Christian. You're the only Christian in your workplace, your street. There are unsaved members of your family. Be warned by the epistle to the church at Sardis. Don't have a name of being alive when you're dead. Because it's the word is urgent. For the sake of the souls out there, we need to be alive to God, close to God, living for him, walking before him, and witnessing for him. So as we go into this week, by his grace and power, may we look to him who called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. By his grace, let us keep our garments unspotted from the world. Let's be careful where we go, what we watch, what we read. And may he help us to be true witnesses for him, to be alive for him in a godless world, by his grace. Amen.